Good morning, church. Good morning, SJCAC. I cannot believe that this is actually happening. Do you know how many days it's been? March 17th, midnight, we went into shelter in place, and it has been 460 days since we were able to meet together in person. And this is actually, to be exact, 462nd day. Because March 15th was the last time that we actually had our first live streaming worship here with a panel of our staff. So I thought that since we're coming out of this pandemic season, at least on paper, that we would actually end this season, mark this season with another panel. I know that so many things have happened in this past year. I don't need to explain what we had to really go through. I actually went back this weekend and I listened to some of the messages that we preached about a year and a half, 15 months ago. It was May 10th that I talked about God being our vine dresser and that we were going into this season of pruning, where God is actually pruning the branches in our lives that are not bearing fruit. Yesterday, I was really praying for our gathering today. We also had another gathering with a bunch of CPD pastors, and I was really asking the Lord to give me the words to describe what we experienced in this past year. And the Lord gave me a picture, and I really believe that this is really the prophetic picture of the season that we were in together. It was a picture of a crucible. You probably know what a crucible is. Whatever goes into that crucible, whether it's metal or gold or silver, it comes out more refined, reformed, and strengthened. Probably stronger than how it actually went in. And I really believe that this is what the Lord has accomplished for the church in this season. And that picture of a crucible is really the prophetic picture for us. So I hope you're stronger. I hope you're more refined, and I hope you have been reformed to really fit the purpose that God has for all of us in this next season. With that, I invited four of our friends here, our own church members, who are going to share their stories. I want to frame our conversation today talking about what we have learned as a church, what God has really taught us in this past season. And we are going to hear from our four panelists. So will you join me in just welcoming these four that are brave to come? And as you see, each one of these panelists represent a generation from our congregation. So from our teens to a young adult to a little older young adult to a little wiser young adult, so we're all young, but I'm so glad to have these four friends come and share some of the stories of what God has really taught us in this season. I actually asked them to really share what God has taught us, what we learned about who God is, and I'm not just talking about an academic knowledge. Oftentimes, our knowledge of God is purely theological, doctrinal, and academic, but all of us, like many of you, we had to experience who this God is in this season of pandemic. And then there are things that God has taught us about ourselves. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you. I did not have the best of myself during this pandemic. In fact, many things that we experienced, we've seen the best of ourselves, but also the worst. Kids just driving us insane. I was just talking about this with a few of our church members. When pandemic broke out, when I was recording from home, the first several weeks, I was just yelling at my kids constantly because I couldn't finish the recording because they were so loud. All of us just locked in a house. So these are some of the common experiences that we went through. But we want to hear from our brothers and sisters what we learned about ourselves. And then we want to talk about what we had to learn about the church. So without any delay, I'm just going to start with Wilson. Maybe, Wilson, you can start by sharing with us, what have you learned about this God that we worship and we serve in this season?
Well, certainly 2020 is a year none of us are ever going to forget. And here we are halfway through 2021, and still not forgetting it. So I think God is still writing that chapter in all of our hearts and minds on what he is teaching each of us. For me, this unique year has really taught me that we are all worldwide experiencing the same problem at the same time. Hopefully the only time the world will face this kind of thing, at least in our lifetimes. But that the God that is over the world is over all of us. So it only stands to reason that what he is teaching me and what he is teaching the other panelists is something that we can all share and learn from. And for me, it comes from his word. It comes from the verse. And this came to me last March, or the March before, time flies, when all of us first went into this shelter in place, and we all felt this, some level of anxiety, some level, and if I were to be honest with you, I feel a little bit of a low-level anxiety right now, not just because I'm up here, but this is like the first normal thing that Meg and I have done that we hope will be the normal going forward again. But beyond that, what has he taught me? And this is the verse. It says, do not be anxious, as we all were, and we all still are to a certain degree, about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. And here's the key for me. With thanksgiving, make your requests known before God. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And to me, that says everything, right? It addresses our anxiety. It addresses going to God. But the key is with thanksgiving, and thanksgiving signifies two things. It means you're thankful for his provision now, but it also is a step in faith that, God, I'm thankful for whatever the future brings. And then this peace. But it's not any peace. It's not the world's peace. This is the peace that passes all understanding. So can't understand it, can't describe it to you. You can only experience it. And it will guard your hearts, so your feelings and your mind are your thoughts and your actions follow. So this is the verse. This is my learning that I shared with friends, family, people at work, people at church. Everywhere I could, I had a special picture of this that I would send in email, you know, kind of one of these infographic type things. And I hope this speaks to you. I know God has given you all your verse, but this is the one, and this is what he taught me.
Thank you, Wilson. Thank you for being real. I don't know about you, but anxiety has been real to all of us. As Wilson shared, even sitting here this morning, I had a little bit of anxiety, my heart beating, not knowing how many people are going to show up at church. I haven't felt this since I asked Sandy out for a date 20 years ago, and it's still happening right now. I have no idea what the future holds for us, and a lot of times our anxiety comes from not knowing where we're headed, where God is taking us. I want to turn to Serena. Serena, you just graduated from college. And this is a very interesting season for you because, you know, you've worked so hard to get to this point. Now this is a time when you start thinking about your career, your next job, where you're going to live, who you're going to meet. I'm sure this anxiety that Wilson talked about was real to you as well. Tell us a little bit about how God has sustained you, even without seeing the future. So share with us.
Yeah. I think probably very similarly to like what everyone has been feeling these past like year and what Uncle Wilson has been sharing. Anxiety was very, very real. I was very, very anxious in the very beginning of the pandemic. So I graduated actually last year, spring 2020, which is the quarter that COVID started. And so I had all these plans and I was gonna go continue my education and everything, but COVID hit. And all of a sudden, I'm, like, unsure exactly what was being said, like, unsure of what's happening, unsure of my future, and unsure of, like, should I continue? Should I wait? Like, what's happening? And so I decided to pause everything that I was doing, even though I had already applied, been accepted, even decided to, like, even chosen a school to continue my education. But right there in, like, April, I was like, COVID's happening. I'm just going to take a pause real quick. And so, but in this, there's so much anxiousness in that already, where it's like, wow, I was already anxious of continuing, and now I've decided to take this step to like pause. And on top of that, it's COVID. I'm taking a gap year all of a sudden. I kind of need to find a job now. Like, what am I going to do, God? No one, I feel like no one will hire, I remember thinking in my mind, like, no one's going to hire someone during COVID with a BA in psychology during, yeah, this whole thing. But I think through all that, one thing I really learned about God was that, yeah, he really does have a plan for me and everyone else, and that he really is my ultimate satisfier and provider. And in that, I just really have to trust and wait on him, I think, to really provide and really satisfy my every need, because I can think that I know what I want. And I think in college, and like when you're thinking about your future and everything, you really try to plan everything out, and you really feel like you know what you want almost, and you're like, I'm gonna go get it, I'm gonna do things. But I don't 100% of the time. Actually, like, I feel like I actually never don't, but God really knows, and he was able to fill that anxiousness, I think, with peace, what Uncle Wilson was sharing, where it's like a peace that surpasses everything, where it's like even in the unknown, you can feel calm about what might be happening, and then you get very, and then when Jesus starts putting everything together again, you're like, oh my goodness, like, wow. So, so I decided to take a pause, and I was like looking for jobs and everything, and I remember just in that moment being super anxious, but then just really giving up to God, and then realizing that he has a plan. And so he actually provided me with more than one job, more than one I needed right after I graduated. I don't think there was even like a break in between like my graduation date to the time I started my job. And that's just something that I couldn't, again, like, I would love to plan for myself, but I really couldn't, especially in a pandemic. And so, yeah, that's something that has really stuck by me to this day. And even as I'm continuing on now, like that lesson or that what that God has taught me, and that is something I'm trying to really hold on to as everything opens up again and life seems to begin again.
Great. So God is not just your provider, but he's also the source of your deep satisfaction in this season. You look very satisfied. Let's turn to Hannah. Hannah, what have you learned about God in this season?
I guess what I learned about God, similar to like what Serena and Uncle Wilson were saying, is through the pandemic, and especially in the beginning of the pandemic, I was able to pray with lots of different people from different parts, like outside of San Jose. And then also with all the news of the pandemic, and it's called a pandemic because it's like everywhere and it's global. And so that changing perspective from just my life, my little circle, my bubble, and how God worked in my life, but then seeing God as bigger and more global, and how he really has control over everything and more than just my own life. And with the pandemic and with changing school schedules and like not being able to go in person, or just lots of different things that changed, for me, I felt like I lost a bit of control over lots of different little aspects of my life, like little things that I didn't realize that I depended on to be able to control, to make myself feel safe or secure or have a routine. So that disruption of the routine would make me kind of feel stressed or anxiety, anxious at sometimes. But then turning globally and praying globally and praying outside of my own life and praying outside of my own family and our city and just praying bigger helped me how God was in control everywhere, and how God is in control globally. And just seeing how he can control that made me feel so much more secure in him, and gave me like a deeper understanding of how God makes us feel safe, and God really has a plan for not just us, but for everyone, which just amplifies how awesome he is. And like being able to control the whole world and everyone's life is something really amazing to me.
Just a cliche that we say, but if we truly understand that God is in control, I think that's how we're going to have peace, even over our anxiety, our worries. Chen, I know that we talked about uncertainty of our future, but you are just kind of beginning to step into another huge uncertainty, and I'm not going to steal the thunder, but God's been speaking to you throughout this pandemic. So share your journey of what the Lord has been really tugging in your heart in this season and what changes you're about to enter into?
Yeah, so what I am hearing from the other panelists is that they found security in the Lord, and specifically through His Word and through prayer with the saints. And that has been the same for me too, that I'm trying to summarize a lot of things in a short amount of time. And I was thinking about how to do that and the word that I received from God this morning, because the common thread that I'm hearing is that God is speaking to us through this pandemic. And the way that He's speaking to me today is that He is my Father. And I did not plan to say that just because today is Father's Day, but that is what I received from the Lord this morning. So in the First Kings passage in our time with Abba this morning, it talks about the two kings, one from Israel and one from Judah. So the son of Ahab, who is the king of Israel, and it said Ahab was the worst king, like he was worse than all the other kings before that. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And it said King Asa of Judah was the first king that's mentioned in the book of Kings that I can tell, that says he actually did everything right in the eyes of the Lord. And it said that the son of Ahab continued to do evil in the sight of the Lord. And it said for the son of Asa, the king of Judah, it said that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just like his father had done. And he even continued the work that his father had started of tearing down the idolatry in Judah. And I was just thinking and reflecting and speaking to God, and He was just showing me why it really matters a lot who your father is. And my dad wasn't the worst father in the world, but he was really busy. He was always at work or away on business trips. And just summarizing everything to this morning, God has really reminded me every day that He's my father. He didn't just father me and then go on a business trip or go back to work to do more important things, but He has been with me through this whole pandemic. He's with me today, just as He is with all of you today. So when my father, excuse me, when my father calls me out and says to do this or to go this place, stay in this place, to do this, say this, because He has shown me that He is my Father, I can do just that. And the stealing the thunder that Pastor Ted is referring to is in this season, God has actually called our family to move to Ohio. So that was a really scary step for us to trust in God. But because He is the Father that has been kind to me, that has been with me all this time, I can trust Him and know that He will be with me wherever I go. He is my Father. That's what I learned in this pandemic. Yeah.
Jen has been serving as our worship leader for many years, and Katie has served as our children pastor. I remember them walking as two singles into our home in one of the evenings for our young adult fellowship. And then they tied the knot, and now they're the parents of three children. And they're about to make this huge step of faith. And it's not that you have a job prepared. You're just completely obeying God.
So the story has developed a little bit since the last time we talked. And actually, God has confirmed through each of the steps that this is what He's calling us to do. So it is true that I'm not getting a new job, but with my current job has allowed me to work remotely. So that we trusted in God to take that step first, and then God confirmed it by saying that, you know, I can continue to be employed and be able to provide for my family. So that's one development. Another development is that He actually provided us with a house. So those are two big things that God has already set up for us in this short amount of time.
I remember having a Zoom call with Chen and Katie, and back then there was nothing. I remember just all of us just in tears. But one thing that was so clear to all of us was that God had been speaking. And we knew that this had got thumbprint all over. So we blessed them, we prayed for them. And just even to hear how God has provided in this next season for your adventure is so exciting. So we're going to spend some time later on just to really pray for Chen and Katie. I think they have a couple Sundays with us left. I want to move on to the next question, but before I do that, I want to read a poem from written by one of our friends in the Alliance. This poem was written on April 6th of last year, 2020. We've all been exposed, not necessarily to the virus. We've all been exposed by the virus. Corona is exposing us, exposing our weak sides, exposing our dark sides, exposing what normally lays far beneath the surface of our souls, hidden by the visible masks we wear. Now exposed by the paper masks we cannot hide far enough behind. Corona is exposing our addiction to comfort, our obsession with control, our compulsion to hoard, our protection of self. Corona is exposing gods we worship, our health, our hurry, our sense of security, our favorite lies, our secret lusts, our misplaced trust. Now, this was written 2 weeks into the whole pandemic. 460 days later, these words carry different meaning and weight, at least for me. This has been a season of exposure. I want to ask the four of you, what has God exposed about yourself in this season? Your dark side.
Wow. You know, I think if God teaches about himself in the first question through scripture and through prayer and through his word and worship and each other, he teaches us about ourselves through our community, through our connection, through one another, sometimes even through strangers. So one of the things right around that same time that that poem was written at the beginning of the pandemic, I ventured out for the first time with the mask on, walking around, grocery shopping, and I felt the need just to make a connection with the strangers in the store. And I noticed that there were, at that time, two kinds of people. The first kind were the ones that would meet your eyes and greet you and just kind of give you a nod and make that short human connection. The other kind had withdrawn, and you could see their eyes were averted, down. They did not want to make connection with anyone because of the fear and the anxiety that we all felt. And I vowed to myself, well, I'm going to be the first kind of person. Next time I went shopping, I ended up being the second type. I think it's kind of interesting. I think everyone on the panel is a little introverted. So, you know, we're very reflective, and we easily go into that negative place of withdrawing into yourself and becoming very insular in that way. I think what Hannah said was really significant. The technology that enabled you to see this as a global problem, but also a global solution, and to meet people you never would have met before. Well, just in a much smaller way, what I found that being able to reach out to the people that I was physically with, to whatever degree I could, even if they were strangers, was healing to me, to my soul. And I'm convicted that it's what God wanted, because around that midway through the pandemic, God gave me a reading from C.S. Lewis. And just in a brief summary, what he talks about, what the reading is he has this phrase, there are no ordinary people. So it's a very simple sentence, and you think, yeah, of course I know there are no ordinary people. But what C.S. Lewis meant is that consider the person next to you right now. Consider the people that you meet in the park or the grocery stores who are strangers. Now think of those same people 100 years from now, okay? 100 years from now, they're going to be a lot different. C.S. Lewis tells us they're either going to be in a place so full of light that you would not recognize them. You would be tempted to worship them. They are so full of light themselves. Or those same people will be in a place so full of darkness that you couldn't bear to look at them because of the horror. Now, here's the key. C.S. Lewis is telling us, now bring yourself back to the present. You are either helping, in everything that you do, you are either helping those people get to the place of light, or you are hurting them by causing them to turn toward the darkness. And that really had a revolutionary effect on how I would day-to-day try to get out of my own bubble, literally and figuratively, and reach out to whomever God brought into my sphere that day, whether it was inside my house or outside my house. So that was the darkness that turned out to be in me, a natural inclination as an introvert. But God gave me the solution. There are no ordinary people, and everything you do to everybody that you meet is either helping them or hurting them.
That's a very profound perspective. Not only there are no ordinary people, there's no ordinary encounter. Imagine if we had that perspective, every single person that we encounter, we could have an impact on their eternal future. So thank you for reminding us of that. Without any interruption, I'm going to ask the other three to jump in.
Yeah, so I also really took away from what Hannah was sharing earlier, that when she was able to pray with others outside of herself, outside of her circumstances and what was inside her, and pray towards where God is, that really brought her out of herself. And I was really reflecting on something that a friend and a mentor had said. He's actually Pastor Douglas's middle school friend. He was the first pastor that pastored me in the Bay Area. Pastor Susang, he shared with me recently, he says this is something he says all the time, that who you are before God is who you are. It's not who you think you are, what other people say you are, but who you are before God is who you are. So I'll get into the dark side first, and then I'll turn towards the redemption, because who I am in God is that. So some of the dark side that he asked us to expose in this segment, it's not that there was anything new that I didn't know about myself, but it was the old insecurities, all the things that I thought that was a weakness, a part of me. Those things, I think, showed up in different ways through how I wanted to please other people in authority, because all I really wanted was to please my Father, right? So now that, so some of those insecurities would be that I never felt very manly growing up. I was not very good at sports. Some of my sensibilities were more geared towards the arts, which I think in our culture can sometimes be described as like more feminine than masculine. So those are some of the things that I struggled with growing up. And I had that manifest in different ways in this season. But being with my son, Caleb, who is very similar, he's 5 years old, God has actually allowed me to see who I am in God, because he's built the same way as I am. He's very sensitive. He's very caring and kind. But he's also very bold and confident. So God has allowed me to see that. And this is what Paul says in the New Testament in the Acts 13 passage this morning that we read. Is he quotes, he said, he says, "We ourselves proclaim to you the good news of the promise that was made to our ancestors." He's talking about how Jesus was sent to fulfill the promise that he has made since the very beginning. He said, "God has fulfilled this for us, their children, the children of the ancestors." So the children So God has made these promises to our fathers again. By raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second psalm, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And God's word is living and active today. Amen. So when God says, "You are my son, today I've become your father," today he has become my father, and I am his son. And through Jesus, I can really claim that sonship and know that I am not just insecure and shy. I always thought of myself as a shy person. That's another thing. Shy, feminine, not very masculine, all those things, but I can be sensitive and caring. I can be loving. I can be confident and bold. So many stories in the past year and a half, but that's what summarizes it, that I am God's son.
Anna and Serena, jump in if you have anything you want to share with us.
I guess what I learned about myself, limitations of myself, during the pandemic, I would like have a lot of lack of motivations to do stuff. Like, that is the limitation of myself. Like, I found my own schedules and then not be able to follow them. Say I would do this assignment on one day and then do it like 2 a.m. before it's due. And really that limitation of myself and how I couldn't get out of it like by myself. Like, I couldn't get myself back on schedule. And God was really showing me how I needed like community and other people to push me to do that. Other limitations of myself to really deal with my own insecurities and doubts on like my appearance or my academic skills or stuff like that. And I mean, growing up in this church, I feel very equipped usually to handle those stuff. Is all of our KCs, and I've had wonderful people in my life who, when insecurity comes up, like, it's like step 1, 2, 3, and then it's gone. And I felt like I couldn't do it on my own, but like I usually was able to. And that's where I found really a need to depend on God and the people that he put in my life. So dealing with some of those insecurities, one thing we started during this pandemic is called Soaring Sisters. Where? And one activity we did together was we drew on post-it notes, little just dots, and then we would write on those dots like some of your insecurities, and then we stuck them on our face, and then together we read some scriptures that are very affirming and took them off together. And through that, I was able to get rid of a lot of those insecurities, and God showing me really how I needed these people. I needed these friends that I haven't seen in a really long time. With my schooling too, God showed me like I could really depend on a lot of my small group. Like, we would do homework together sometimes. And so really, I think through this pandemic, God showed me really the limitations of what I can do by myself. Because I used to think I could do a lot of it on my own. And a self-dependency was always really important to me. But through the pandemic, really having to give up a lot of that control once to God and really rely on him, and then really rely on the people that he's put in my life.
So you found a true meaning of being a community. That's how it helped to break through the self-limitation. That's beautiful. Serena, you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, I think also very similar for me during this time is something I learned about myself, like what Chan and Hannah shared, was just the insecurities that come up when you're really spending 24/7 on your own, and like the time, and like you have so much time on your hands to just think about things. I think for me, one thing that really came up was moving back home. I think going to college, it's so easy being away from home. Like, I was able to separate myself from the Bay Area and everything I had known here, which is great. And also sad, like I love it here as well. But being away from college, I didn't have to think about a lot of the things that had come up for me growing up here in the Bay. And then all of a sudden, deciding to come back home and move back home for a little bit, all these insecurities came crashing back. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I thought I had dealt with this. I thought like God had like restored me and like made me better and everything. But I'm back and everything seems to almost be back as it was before. In fact, maybe even more so, because now I am just always home. I don't even have the busyness to keep me distracted. And I think that's probably what it was, just like the busyness of life before. But yeah, I think just with myself and just spending a lot of time with myself and everything, things come up. And kind of like what Hannah said, like, yeah, church kind of like equips you pretty well to deal with it, but at the same time, it's like the pandemic and everything, you're just mentally, sometimes it's really hard and difficult. And I think I was talking to a friend one day, and she was really encouraging me and reminding me also to go back to the scripture. And I was just like, Serena, like the word of God is very powerful. And one thing that helps me when these thoughts come about is like, just find a scripture and find something that you can really cling on to, because it's the truth and it's real and it's powerful. So I was just really thinking about it and praying about it to God and bringing up to God one night. And he just gave me this verse that I have been really clinging on to since then, to really help me through like the thoughts and everything that's come about. And I wrote it down here. 2 Corinthians 2:18, where it says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And I think for me, coming back home, starting a new job, and all the things that comes into like being in the working world for the first time also brings up so many other insecurities as well. But knowing that, for that verse of the clinging on to his grace, and that first off, I'm not supposed to be able to do everything, and that it's only God that shines even brighter in my insecurities, is something that I've been learning as well about myself and God.
Thank you, Serena. I'm going to move us along. We don't have a lot of time, but this is really the most important question, and I don't think we can spend a lot of time talking about this, but I want all four of you to just sort of wear a prophetic lens. And as you think about the church in this next season, obviously we're coming out of this crucible, God's crucible, and we can never go back to where we came from. As I've been saying this, if we go back to the normal way of how we used to do church, it would be a horrible waste of a whole pandemic. So there are things that God has taught us in this season, and I am really wrestling with what the church should really look like as we emerge out of this pandemic. So just in a couple of sentences, I want each of you to share what would be the prophetic vision for the church in this next season. What do you want church to look like in the eyes of the world and before God? So maybe Chen, you want to start?
Sure. So I was, sorry, it might be more than a couple of sentences. But as I was coming up, I was watching the end of the video and had a quote from A.B. Simpson that said, "All may change, but Jesus never." Or I don't know if I'm quoting that correctly. And that's really what I've learned in this pandemic, is that God has never left me. He was here with me through. So I will just speak this prophetically over you, that God, he is your Father. He is here with you. You're not alone. Whether you are dealing with chronic back pain or sorrow, or whether you are celebrating and worshiping him with gladness and joy in your heart, he is here with you, celebrating and rejoicing with you through the good times, and also with you through the hard times. Jesus has died to take on those burdens when those burdening times come to you. And the mission of the church, though the method of how we carry out the mission might change through the changing seasons, but the mission has not changed. Just as Paul said 2,000 years ago, "And we ourselves proclaim to you the good news of the promise that was made to our ancestors." God made this promise to Adam and Eve at the very beginning, that the what comes from the woman will crush the serpent, right? He promised Jesus from the beginning, and then Jesus came. And the promise again is Jesus is coming again, right? So our mission until then is, we ourselves proclaim to you the good news of the promise that was made to our ancestors. He also talks about, this will be the last thing, sorry. He also talks about John the Baptist. He said, "Then as John was completing his life's work," and in that phrase, I just thought about that. John, when we think about John the Baptist, his life's work that we remember is being out in the wilderness baptizing people. So when we're in an area like the Bay Area where we tend to be very ambitious about our vision and what we're going to do. It says, then as John was completing his life's work, he said, I am not the one, but look, someone is coming after me. So I bless you, church, that this will be your mission, that your life's work will not be something you built in the workplace or just in your family, but that your life's work is to say, I am not the one, but look, someone is coming after me. And through that, your workplace and your home and your church, places of worship where you gather, it will be transformed so we can move forward in this new season.
Yeah, I love hearing that because as the oldest person on this panel, I love hearing that, yes, there are people that will come after me, whether it's the next generation or the next generation or the next generation. I am so encouraged with intergenerational worship because as an older person, I love looking back and seeing the hope of the faith, not only of God's faithfulness, which Chan started with, is eternal, looking back on the scope of history and the whole Bible, but that the near future is also in his hands. It's in good hands with, you know, the people, my fellow panelists up here. It really makes me think, you know, of the difficulties. We talked about that each of us has seen the good as well as the bad in ourselves. This has been a time for the church also to reconsider not only the good that it's done, but also the bad that it has to grapple with and struggle with and come out the other end of the pandemic better. So I want to bless everybody with a Bible verse again, like as I started with. This one comes from Romans 8:28, and it says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those that love God, that's you, church, of those who are called according to his purpose, and that's further you, church. So all things, meaning the good things and the bad things that we perceive are good and bad, God works together for his good, for the good. So bless you with that.
I guess one thing that I want, my vision for the church, through my own experience of the blessing of the church, and like Chan was one of my Sunday school teachers growing up, and then now I get to teach his kids in Sunday school. And I think my dad was maybe Dave's youth pastor for a year, and now David is my youth pastor. And so the really how our church is like a family, and I think through the pandemic, we each individual family kind of we did church together, and then now that we're back together, how we can as a church be a family all together again, like in person or even outside of this building, is I also always feel blessed by the church when different aunties will take me outside, like outside of church, and we go out, or they'll check up on me or hang out with me, and that always makes me feel really blessed. And so I guess that's my wish for the church, is more involvement like that, of how we each can invest in our church. Because for me personally, is I like to invest in our church with like working with the kids or helping out with youth, because I feel so blessed from the way that my Sunday school teachers really blessed me, or my youth pastors and my aunties and uncles in this church community have blessed me.
The blessing is mutual.
Please, somebody take Hannah and Serena out for a bubble tea after the service, okay? Chen, did you want to say something?
I was just saying the blessing is mutual. We are blessed by you.
Serena, last word.
Yeah, I guess just really quickly, I think for me, something about the church I really learned, I really put out there, is like church is fluid during this time, I think, what I really learned. And through all my transitions of just like coming back home, like finding new things again, like church popped up no matter where I was, no matter how long I was thinking of being in a place. And I think maybe especially for people who are going through transitions and really thinking about maybe what's coming next. Like, yeah, it doesn't have to be a specific place. It doesn't have to be a specific, like, limitations or boundaries or building even. It could be anywhere with anyone that, loves God as much as you, and you guys are all willing to just come together and walk with each other.
What a profound word. We think of church. This is our church. That's how we say it. But if you heard what Serena said, church is everywhere. It's where God's people are. It's not a building. It's not a program. So thank you for saying that. I wish we had more time. We're 10 minutes over time, but thankfully, we don't have a service coming after us, so we have a little bit of freedom. This is what I want us to do. One thing that I've been really longing for is like it's the fact that I can touch you and lay hands. We've been praying through Zoom for the past 16 months, but I want us to really end our time just really praying for the Church of Jesus Christ, the beautiful bride of Christ, with our imperfections, still being refined, still being purified. But this is our hope. So I want us to do that. And I also want to end our time with just really blessing Chan and Katie and commissioning them with our prayer in this next season as they take this step of faith. So I want all of you to stand. And if you are comfortable just forming a group, let's just get into groups of 4 or 5, and those that are sitting outside aisles, you can just keep a little bit of distance, but I think we can still pray together and pray prophetically really for the church in this next season. And then we'll form another circle right here with Katie over there and then Chan over here. Let's pray for one another. Let's also commission Katie and Chan out with our blessing today, and then I'll close us.